The scripture reading this evening will come from the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27. Again, the scripture this evening will come from the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 27. This can be found on page 1153 in the Bibles provided for you. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment.
I am so thankful for the privilege and the opportunity. Romans chapter 1 at verse number 16, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to every man that believeth, first to the Jew and also to the Gentile." I pray and hope that I'll be able to preach this lesson the same way Paul preached and the same way that Christians here at Avondale Church of Christ preach it, that every time that Brother Owens is out of town, that we have good men who are ready to serve and ready to preach the gospel and not be ashamed of it. So I'm so thankful. This sermon tonight comes from Hebrews 9:27. The sermon is called, "We All Have an Appointment." In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it said, "It is appointed to man once to die, then comes the judgment." I remember when we took that trip to Lake Blackshear. We all, the men, we went on a retreat. We had a good time. Good time, good time. We can't tell everything. But we had a good time, and I remember we watched LeBron James take on the Warriors. I know there's a lot of Warrior fans out here. And we see how LeBron whooped them. But as we was watching it, and we went back to our room, me and Steve shared rooms, and as we were looking at the sport ticker, because all night they kept playing Muhammad Ali. Y'all know what happened. He passed away. Through all his greatness, I remember one of the things, this was something I had took out of a sermon, he said something like this, that he's so quick, that he's so fast, by the time he touched the light switch, he's already in the bed before it's dark. I started laughing because Muhammad Ali had a lot of confidence. But we know that Muhammad Ali done more than just that. He had the best mouthpiece. He could talk. He could make a man feel intimidated before he even stepped in the ring. But not only that, he did something. He didn't go into the military because he didn't want to go and fight a war. Because we know there was a lot of things going on in how they treat black people in that time. And he refused to go. That's why he changed his name. His name used to be Cassius Clay, and he changed it to Muhammad Ali. And we know he was the best boxer of all time. I don't care. I put my money on Muhammad Ali, even though I don't gamble. But he was the greatest boxer of all time, period. But guess what? He died. We can think about many others like Michael Jackson, Martin Luther King, and all those men, and many others who we can name. But guess what? Through all that glory and all those things they done, they still died. That's one thing we have to realize as people or children of God, that one day we're going to the grave. We know we go to funerals. I'm just making an example. And sometimes it's a lot of fluff in the funerals. Because a person could be laying in that casket. They know when that person was living, they were the worst person on this earth. But they got to kind of say some good things about them. But I'm glad that we're in the body of Christ, that we try to save people, because guess what? You're going to be the one that's in that casket one day. You know, a lot of people are losing people. I know I lost my father when I was 15. That's when I realized death is real. At a young age, you already picture that people are leaving in your life, and you realize people are gone. And the sad part about it, if the person have not obeyed the gospel, they will have to face the second death. Just like Muhammad Ali, he pledges his allegiance to being a Muslim. Guess what? He has to meet God, and he's meeting God unprepared. Martin Luther King was a Baptist. He's going to meet God unprepared. And that's a sad thing, to meet God unprepared, because you will face the wrath of God. That's why when you're living, you got to make things right before God and obey that glorious gospel that Paul preached and that many other apostles preached, that you need to follow the way that the Bible say. Because a lot of people say, yes, I got God in my heart, and they touching TV screens. Let me tell you something, you're going to be lost. But you need to obey the same way others have obeyed throughout the word of God. You know, we used to say this thing, I hope we still say it. We do book, chapter, and verse. We don't have opinions. We don't have thoughts. But we need to go back what the Bible say about salvation, what the Bible say about anything in this life. But the first thing we're going to talk about, how the death enter the world. If you'll turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3. And I know many of us already read chapter 1 and chapter 2 before. We probably read Genesis like 50 times. Or 100 times, or 1,000 times. But we know that God had, he has done creation. He has created man. But first of all, he created all things. But in that 6th day, he created man. Man was very important to God. Because the first thing, we go to chapter 2, it talks about how he breathed into his nostrils, the breath of life. God gave a piece of himself to man. But not only that, because I'm going to paraphrase these because we'll be here all night. I don't want to keep you here. And I hope the Falcons can win. I'm tired of losing. Fire Matt Ryan. But back to this. But as we see, God created man in his own image. That's why the Bible says, let us make man in our image. God gave a piece of himself to man. First of all, he made him out of the dust of the ground. He made him out of dirt. But there's something special in man that he gave to him, and that is a living soul. He gave a part of himself. And then you see that he seen man was lonely. Brothers, we need to say amen about this one. This is the first marriage. And we see that God gave man a helpmeet that was comparable to him, because all those things that was on this earth could not fulfill man's need, could not be compared to man. So he gave him his woman, took him out of his rib, did this first surgery. Y'all want to know about surgery now? He did the first surgery, put him to sleep, took a rib out of him, and made woman. And that's why he can say this in verse number, in chapter 2 at verse number 23. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked. And the man and his wife were not ashamed. This is the purest form of man. No sin. They was naked. They didn't even know they was naked. They wasn't shameful about it. And you can see that they were so innocent. But when we get to chapter 3, we're going to learn how death entered the world. In chapter 3, it says in verse number 1, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said you should not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. For God doeth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. You know, in reality, Eve got played by Satan. Y'all don't like to use that word, but she got played. He tricked her. God already in chapter 2 gave them the law. Not to eat of that tree. The day that you eat of the tree, you shall surely what? Die. But we know they didn't die at that moment. But they had a spiritual death. They were separated from God. And then we know that what happened in that garden, they also brought death and sin into this world for every man. You know, that's one of the saddest moments in the Bible. But I'm glad that God guess what? Had a plan. In Genesis chapter 3 at verse number 15, we'll turn our Bibles there. And this is the first prophecy God made. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. As it was fulfilled in Galatians chapter 4 at verse number 4. And we'll go to that a little later. In Romans, we'll turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 5, starting at verse number 12. We'll turn our Bibles there together. Because from that point on, man has a problem with sin. It says in verse number 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed unto all, upon all men, for that all have sinned. When you think about divorces, when people sin and fornicate and done things in their marriages that are not right with the Lord and not right with their spouse, that's sin. When you think about fornication, people having sex before they're married, that's sin. When you think about adultery and all these different types of things that we can call sin, and even self-righteousness is sin. Every person in here is dealing with a sin problem. That's why we got to come to Jesus. That's why we got to obey the gospel of Christ. Because all of us are struggling with sin. That's why I love that when John in first, let's turn to first John, even though this is not even in my sermon. I like in first John chapter 1. As John put in perspective. Because it's not the fact that we are better than you. We just obey the gospel of Christ. And we're trying to show you the same way that you can obey the glorious gospel of Christ. Look what it says in 1 John chapter 1 and starting at verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. That's a reality check for all of us. Even those who obey the gospel. But if you have not obeyed the gospel, you can't ask for forgiveness from God. Because you have not met the criteria of salvation. Let's turn our Bibles to why Christ had to come to save man. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 21, we know what the Bible says there. And it makes it very clear. And it says, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I'm going a little rant. Whatever these false people out here preaching to you, talking about you can go through Muhammad, talking about you can go through Buddha, you can go through all these things to be saved, that is a lie. That's our purpose of preaching the gospel of Christ, to show people the truth and to lead them to the right way. Because what they're doing out here, they giving people a materialistic sermons. Telling you that money can make you happy. Yeah, it'll make you happy temporarily, but when you die, can it save your soul? They telling you that an education, you get as much knowledge as you want, but guess what? You still got to meet the what? The graveyard. You still got to go. I don't care how many diplomas, how many degrees. Yes, it look good, but guess what? You can't take that on the other side and say, God, this is what I have done. Look, God, I got a PhD in whatever you want to call it. Y'all fill in the blank. But guess what? That can't save your soul. That's foolishness to God. Come on, he the one who made it for you. But when we think about Jesus, why he had to come, God had a plan to redeem man to himself. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Because I hate to say it, I don't hear preachers who preach the gospel say this, that God did not plan for Jesus' death. Yes, he did. He had a purpose for it. If he didn't plan it, then we'll all still be lost. God already had the plan in his mind. Let's turn to Ephesians. Y'all probably already there. I love to talk. Amen. But in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14, this is what Paul said as he's talking about the purpose that God had. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he have chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he have made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he have abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he have purposed in himself, that in this dispensation of fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his good will, his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory and the first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. God already had a plan to redeem man to himself. If you just want to take a summary and read that, God is saying, I already had a plan when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. I got to redeem you back because I love you. When you think about God, that showing the ultimate love, because we all deserve the what? The wrath of God. We all deserve it because we sinned against him. That's why in Romans chapter 3 at verse number 23, it said, for all fall short of the glory of God. That's why I'm thankful for what Jesus has done for us. Jesus fulfilled all righteousness in Matthew chapter 3 verse 15. He was baptized, but he wasn't baptized for sin. But he was baptized, like he said, to fulfill all righteousness, to give us an example of what we need to do to be saved. In Galatians chapter 4, we'll turn our Bibles there at verse number 4. Paul had in Galatians, he's trying to teach the brethren who are Jews that don't go back into bondage. In Galatians chapter 4 at verse number 4, and it reads, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of son. Because ye are sons, and God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore there are no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. How be it? Then when you knew not God, you did service unto them, which by nature are no God. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and times and years. I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. Brother, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as you are, and you have not injured me at all. And you know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation which was in my flesh ye despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them unto me. And am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I want to stop there. See, they were trying to teach those who were Gentile brethren that they had to be circumcised. Paul is trying to tell them, you're free in Christ. Why do you want to go back to bondage? Christ has freed you from the law. And why you want to go back again to bondage? Because if they go back to that bondage, they will be lost. And they go around, and like I said, you have false apostles and false preachers at that time preaching that you need to be circumcised to be saved. You even got people today who still believe that. You know, they tell you that you got to go to worship on Saturday, 7 day Adventist. That you got to go to worship on Saturday. And they try to keep the law, but guess what? I'm going to go to this chapter in Romans chapter 7. We'll turn our Bibles there. Because in Romans chapter 7, Paul breaks it down, because I know sometimes we have read this and we get kind of confused. But Paul is telling them the law, guess what the law done? Because I'm going to try to paraphrase, but I'm going to have to read it. But he was trying to tell them all the law did was show you your sin. And guess what? The law, when you look at it, it made you sin. Because they knew about the word of God. They understood the word of God. But every time they tried to obey that law perfectly, they kept on sinning. And when you look at the realization, they were lost. So Paul had to put in perspective, first of all, you can't even keep this law. I can't even keep it. So why do you want to go back to bondage? Let's go to Romans chapter 7, starting at verse number 7. And it reads, "What shall we say then? Is it law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of," somebody help me out, I can't say that word. All right, bear with me, church. Brother Owen did that before, too. But look, I'll just joke. "For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me. And by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy and the commandment is holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would that I do, I not. But what I hate that I do, That do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is more I that I do it. But sin that dwelleth in me, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. When you read that, he said that law, all it did, he kept fighting with himself. I'm trying my best, Lord, but I keep going back to sin. I keep doing it, Lord. But look what he says in chapter 8. I love this, because this is an amen for all of us who have obeyed the gospel. It said, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When Jesus went to that cross, he took that burden away from us. Because when we think about the law and grace, that's all you're reading, the law and grace. I couldn't do it. Because first of all, I'm a Gentile. Everybody in here is a Gentile, if you're not a Jew. I couldn't do it. Even the Jews couldn't do it. So that's why we can go to chapter 8 and read that. Therefore, there is no condemnation. It made me appreciate grace a little more. Because I realized how weak I am and how I need Jesus in my life. How I need to have him as the forefront of my life. That I need to be reading this word daily. That I may be able to possess it in my heart. Because I realized where Christ's sacrifice was the biggest sacrifice of all time. Because I read that scripture. Now therefore there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the spirit. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. That's all that law was. Sin and death. That's all it was for them. So I'm glad that we got the law of Christ. Because guess what? He promised what? Freedom. And he guarantees it too. He tell you that you can go back and do what? Repent of your sins. So I appreciate what Christ has done for those who have obeyed the gospel. Because at one time we all was afar from God. So we all are thankful that Christ. The reason why I'm reading it, because I just did a study. A brother encouraged me to study these two chapters. And it made me realize something about John 3:16. We know that's one of the greatest, probably the most quoted scriptures of the Bible. But he said, for God so loved the world. It's kind of like you replacing words inside of that world. Basically, you're saying for God so loved the world because we all deserve the punishment. And when you kind of think about that, we all deserve the punishment of God. But he said, I'm going to send my son in your stead. But you got to do what the Bible tells you to do by following the word of God. Because for God so loved the world, or for God, we deserve the punishment. That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be what? Saved. When I think about that might word, that means that there is a criteria. Because sometimes we just run on scriptures. But sometimes we need to stop and go back and read it. Because the world has done damage to that scripture. Because some people think, I deserve God. I deserve Jesus. No, you don't deserve anything. So it teaches us to humble ourselves and how much we need Jesus Christ in our lives. As we go on to Romans chapter 5, let's turn our Bible there. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, starting at verse number 1. It said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience, and patient experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some will even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we now receive the atonement. We read those scriptures. Look what he said. You deserve the wrath of God. You deserve to die. This for each individual in here. We deserve to die. But God, thank you for sending Jesus in our place. So when we think about this and we think about the scriptures that we just got finished reading, we need to be throwing ourselves at Jesus. We need to be giving our life to Christ. We don't need to be wasting time because we know, like I said, that we all have an appointment to meet God. So why waste time when we don't have enough time? First of all, James chapter 4 and verse number 14, James said, life is but a vapor. Here for the moment and then it what? Vanish away. When you think about a vapor, if you ever been outside, you know, this is not a joke. Your breath is going to be kind of hot. So when it's cold outside and you do a little huff puff, you know what I'm talking about. You do the little air thing. You see a little mist, right? That's what James is saying. That's how your life is. It's just a mist. You see it for a moment, then it just vanished away. So the Bible is constantly trying to tell us to keep living for Jesus Christ if you are in the Lord. But those who are not in the Lord, you need to go ahead and give your life to Christ. Because you don't know what can happen. We turn on the news every day. We see people dying left and right. We even go to funerals ourselves. We have seen people who are in the Lord who have passed away. And I'm thankful because they're in the Lord and they passed away. And we know they're in that place called paradise. Because we know paradise is just a holding ground for those. We're going to get in that in the next one. But we know paradise is a holding ground for those who have obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a holding ground until Jesus returns and does the final judgment. And then he will take us to heaven. But we turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 16. And I probably need to hurry up. I'll probably be past 30 minutes. In Luke chapter 16, we turn our Bibles there because we're going to read about some sad moments in life. A lot of times people just read over the word of God and they don't realize Jesus is trying to tell you the truth. That this is real. We turn our Bible to Luke chapter 16. Y'all remember the rich man and Lazarus. One of the saddest moments. In Luke chapter 16, we turn our Bibles there. Starting at verse number 19. It said, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sore, designed to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, and being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus his evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. If we just get our minds to think about the rich man and Lazarus and think about it in our heads a little bit, I can just imagine. Because we can even do that in our time today. The rich man had a mansion. No, I'm not trying to change the Bible, but he had a mansion. One of the wealthiest people probably at that time. Because he said that he wore purple. He wore fine linen. And y'all know Lydia was a maker of purple. And it was so precious that you just didn't get it at a low price. It wasn't cheap. So this man was rich. But I can imagine, they said that they carried Lazarus to the gate. Carry him to the gate. And then it said he had sores. So he it said that the dog came and licked his sores. Just imagine how. It's just like you walking past somebody who is just in so much pain, who is going through so much distress in life or stress in life and can't even get himself up because somebody had to carry him to the gate. And I can just imagine the rich man, he had to leave his home sometime. He had to see Lazarus posted up at the gate. And he probably just went on about his business. And sometimes I can find myself doing that, even in this time. And he fed sumptuously every day. And we see Lazarus, all he wanted was the bread or the crumbs that fell from his table. The crumbs wouldn't even fill his stomach up. Have you ever ate a crumb before and it made you mad? Y'all know what I'm talking about. You have something that's so delicious that you leave a little crumbs on there so you can remember what you have eaten. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Lemon meringue pie. Y'all know the crust. You leave the crust at the bottom. You eat all the top. But you eat the crust because that's the good stuff, the cookie. But all Lazarus want was the crumbs that fell from his table. Now I can imagine this rich man probably had a lot of turkeys. He had Thanksgiving every day. Y'all know what I'm talking about. He had a nice meal every day. He could have gave the man a piece of chicken. Y'all know I love chicken. But he could have gave the man a piece of chicken. He could have gave the man a piece of turkey leg as he walked by him and had some mercy on him. Sometimes we could be doing the same thing. And I see why God didn't put a name on that rich man, because we could put ourselves in that same way. Because all this rich man had to do was show mercy to him. But look what happened to him. That verse number 25, Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things." This man was blessed by God. But sometimes we fail to realize when we're blessed by God, we need to bless others. Because that's what he forgot about, loving his brother. But look what he said. "And Lazarus is evil things, but now he is comforted." Lazarus in paradise. Well, look what the rich man said. "Can you bring Lazarus over so he can bring me up? Dip his finger in a tip of water." I know it's a lot of runners in here. Brother Jed, he runs. What does a tip of water do for you if you're running miles? Don't answer. Nothing. A tip of water to put it on his tongue. Now he's begging for mercy, when he could have been showing mercy while he was living on this earth. And people, we need to have the same mercy for others. Because we can be in that same way of the rich man. But not only that, that rich man is in hell. Hell is real. Because a lot of times people are scared, afraid to tell people hell is real. And if you don't obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's a place that you're going to be. And it's serious. But we're going to finish this up. In verse number 26, I ain't saying finish it up, but finish this. "And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." And then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment." Abraham said unto him, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent." And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." Abraham, it's too late. This man is begging for mercy for his brother, because he know they live in the same life he lived. And he's trying to tell Abraham, send somebody to go speak to him. Even somebody from the dead to go speak to him. But he said, hold on, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, that's it. Ain't no point. You can't get through them. It's the same way with people today. If they won't listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ, because we don't have to really be up here preaching as hard as we do. Because it's simple. If you don't want to obey the gospel of Christ, you will be lost. And look what he says, it's a great gulf fixed. You know why God did that? Because he know that we who obeyed the gospel were trying to go over and save our relatives. Save people we know who we have relationship with. Save our friend. But he said, that's it. Once they're on this other side, you cannot go back. Because we know it's only one that went back. and that's Jesus. But he telling us, no, we, it's fixed. And that's why Hebrews 9:27 is so important. It says, appointed man wants to die, then comes the judgment. Let's turn our Bible to Luke 12, and then we'll go to 1 Thessalonians, then I'll get y'all out of here. In Luke 12, because this is how people mentality are on this earth. In Luke chapter 12, verses 13. And it says, and one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not of the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, Where shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pour down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. You got people who just live in this life for things. And it's not just them, it's even us who are children of God. We just live on this earth for these things, for money. For degrees and all these, not just degrees, but for all these materialistic things. But look what he told that rich man, or rich fool, you might as well call him. He said, Fool, your soul is required of thee. That rich man had an appointment that he didn't even know about. But if he obeyed, if he knew what God's word said, he would have known that he had an appointment with God. Sometimes we can get so caught up in this life, we need to just step back, go back to God's word, and retune our lives. Because sometimes we let all this stuff just get in our minds, and it just take over left and right, and then next thing you know, we caught up in stress, we caught up in debt, we caught up in all these things of the world, and we lose focus in Christ. That's why I like when Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. He said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul had his mind focused on Christ. Because we can see that this rich fool, he didn't have his mind focused on God. He wasn't prepared for God to say, it's time for you to come home. Where do you think this man ended up? He ended up in hell. Because all he cared about was these materialistic things. And you can see that in our political world. We can see it in the lives of these people who are great, who are good motivational speakers. But all they talk about is materialistic things. And they talk about you got a purpose. Yes, you got a purpose in life. And that is to obey the gospel of Christ and to live faithfully unto death. That's your mission in life. I know sometimes we wake up in the morning, I got to find my purpose. That's it. That's your purpose. What Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. That's your whole purpose in life. Because if you put yourself in those other people's shoes and you're looking for purpose in life, you're going to be lost. This right here is our purpose, the word of God. Turn your Bible to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Because this is a message for people who don't want to follow the Lord. First Thessalonians chapter 1. No, 1 Thessalonians. Hold on, yes, it is. Make sure I wrote the right scripture. I I'm sorry. 2 Thessalonians. On my paper, I got 1 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. As we're about to wrap this lesson up, you have an appointment. One day you're going to die. But I'm here to tell you, it's better to die with the Lord than to go to God unprepared. A lot of us, sometimes we take life for granted. But we need to be giving our lives over to Christ and not take it for granted. When we read this word and we read about the salvation that the Lord has provided for us, I don't know about you, sometimes it brings me to tears. Because sometimes I take it for granted sometimes. And I need to get back into reality. What's important is the word of God. And if you have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you will be lost. There's nothing to it. You will feel the wrath of God. I'm not trying to scare you into the Lord, but I'm just trying to tell you the truth. Because all of us have obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, like it says in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And you need to get in that body that Christ has died for. Ephesians, I think it's in Ephesians chapter 4. He talks about that one body. That's all it is. It's just one body that can save you. I don't know about no other body. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus Christ said himself, upon this rock I will build my church. He didn't say he was going to build another church off another man's name. He didn't say he was going to build a denomination or a non-denomination. He said, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of Hades should not prevail against it. And I'm here today to tell you that you need to get in that church that he has died for, that he has bought with a price by giving his life and shedding his blood for. And if you need to do that, go ahead and do it tonight, because you don't know when you're going to pass on. And like I said, Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed man wants to die, then come the judgment. Live faithful for the Lord if you're in Christ. And if you're not in Christ, as the invitation song is sung, please make it right with the Lord.